Welcome into the podcast closet. You're listening to episode 63 of CCP, the Caleb and Kathy podcast, also known as...
Cursing, Calling, Panic.
It's good. Because there's a lot of, like, calls. Is that what the calling was? Yeah, a lot of phone calls in this movie. All right, so this week on the pod, we are covering the 2019 Oscar-nominated, I believe, right? For a couple things?
I thought so, but I couldn't find it. So
okay, maybe not. But,
critically acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed. Very good. Thank you. Title, Uncut Gems, starring, Adam Sandler. I think you wrote down some of the cast over there. I'll let you.
Lakeith Stanfield?
Who doesn't sound like a big name because we can't remember, but you've seen him in stuff. He was in, Sorry to Bother You, Get Out, Atlanta.
Kevin Garnett.
You've seen him from the Boston Celtics to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And Idina Menzel.
And I'm not aware of what her work is, so you want to...
She's in Frozen.
Okay. Is that her? And Wicked.
She's a big musical... Broadway star.
Yeah.
You don't know who that is?
Is that the lady that John Travolta did the weird...
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only reason I know her.
That's sad.
I don't watch a lot of, like, musical stuff. Well, before you, really. I didn't really...
It's okay.
Okay. Anyways, so that's the big names. This was directed by the staff.
I didn't know any of the old guys, so...
Yeah, I'm sure there were some other big names in there, and some small cameos, but those are the actors that we were aware of and recognized. And athletes, as it were. So it's directed by the Safdie brothers. They have other indie movies. I don't think either of us has seen any of them, but apparently,
they're out there.
Yeah. Making stuff. They're pretty young. I saw they're both like in their 30s. So I guess we'll just talk about this now real briefly. Like how, I listened to The Fresh Air and you listened to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or, two of them were on with Terry Gross. It's
and
funny
Adam
because
Sandler was on it.
Oh, Adam Sandler was on it as well. Yeah. And both Jewish.
I think they're all Jewish.
Yeah, I meant both the Safdie brothers. But yeah, Adam Sandler is Jewish as well. And Terry Gross, I guess, too, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I think Terry Gross is Jewish.
Idina Menzel is Jewish, too. I Googled it.
Yeah, this was probably a very Jewish
But you know
Jewish
what?
Cast.
I don't want to.
But anyways, the reason I brought it up is... Sorry, it was just funny that, like, it's the Safdie brothers, and there's two of them, but they have, like, another brother, I think. It's just... not involved, which is just kind of funny to me. So anyways,
not everyone has to be in the biz.
And then briefly to talk about the indie aspect, this was distributed by A24, who's a pretty, especially now, like in the past 5 years, I feel like is a on the come up indie studio. Like Get Out, I believe, was theirs, and
nice.
A lot of other critically acclaimed ones. And then the budget was $19 million and it made $48 million at box office. So, not too bad. All right. That being said, did we have any other housekeeping around the edges we wanted to discuss before getting into the movie?
According to the Fresh Air interview, this is based on a true story.
Okay. You were saying
like,
that.
This
I'm
is
not...
a real guy, or was a real guy.
Yeah?
But we haven't done our research, so
okay.
we don't know.
We'll look
but
that
I'm...
up after, maybe.
Because I listened to that like a while ago.
Because I didn't want to, yeah. And they don't talk about spoilers in that interview, obviously. And then I didn't want to, like, look it up ahead of time and spoil what happens in the movie, you know? And we're just coming out of watching the movie. So we'll look that up after and see.
Okay.
So is that the only other thing you had?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will give a brief synopsis. I will
Good
try
luck.
To... Oh, thank you. I will try to keep it as spoiler-free as I can for those who want to watch the film. So Adam Sandler... stars as the lead character Howard.
I think Ratner.
I don't. Yeah, it was,
but they
it was
pronounce it like 10 different ways in the movie. So.
Not super important though. So he's a jeweler, right? So he sells jewels. No,
he's not a jeweler.
What would you call him?
He works at a jewelry store. Because
he
doesn't.
What's the difference? I don't
know. A jeweler is someone that like actually makes jewelry.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't doing any of that.
They talk about, I wish I would have listened to that interview more recently, but yeah, he basically has like a jewelry store, I guess, and he sells jewelry.
But it's kind of a front.
Yeah. It, well, don't know if it's a front. He just is a shady businessman.
Okay.
He uses his customers' jewelry as like collateral sometimes to make bets on sports.
Not a good dude.
So, anyways, he gets this opal, right? It's an opal from Ethiopia. And Kevin Garnett comes in and he's really into it.
So weird.
It's the very weird. Story. Of this movie That's why I'm like, I don't know if this is true. Especially the Kevin Garnett part.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they like took some liberties with it. Yeah. But I think it's based on a true person.
Okay, the person. And then it's kind of like told like a story that could have happened to him with maybe different characters or something.
Maybe it's inspired by a true story.
So anyways, KG comes in and he's in love with this opal. So he lets him use it, and he like is plays super well when he uses it. This is not like Space Jam or something like.
Oh man, it's just that is
all mental thing. But anyways, he takes his championship ring as collateral, and then he goes and pawns it, and makes a bet on with the money to try to win back the money because he owes all this money to
everyone.
To everyone, but mainly this guys. Arnold guy.
Who turns out to be related
who
to
we later find out is, like, his brother-in-law, which changes the whole dynamic completely. It's kind of bizarre. Anyways, I won't get any more finer details. Basically, Adam Sandler's character, Howard, has a gambling problem, and he uses his store to, like, make money so he can fuel that gambling problem. And he has a lot of...
issues.
Problems caused by his gambling, I would say, and his money problems.
Cheating on his wife.
He has an affair. He has this girlfriend who lives in an apartment. And then, yeah, he has his wife. And he has, like, three kids.
I mean, that part's normal. Like you said, it's normal to have a family and a wife, but he's not being a very good
husband. Or father. And like you said, he owes all this money to all these different people. Like, anytime he goes anywhere, somebody's coming up to him like, hey, you got this much money you owe me. And so the movie is just like a hectic, like fast paced, you know, constantly
ridden.
Like, how is Howard going to get himself out of these situations that he seemed to have gotten himself into?
Yeah,
it's a mess. Yeah, what are some of your thoughts on the movie?
I don't know why, but I thought this was gonna be different than it was.
How so?
Like, I knew that he, like, bet on basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he was Jewish. I think that's all and that it was, like, kind of a fast-paced
New York. So what did you think it was going to be? Like,
movie.
Like, maybe he was, like, trying to gamble for the money to, like, do something more noble or something, maybe?
Or I don't think I knew about the whole, like, he's a jeweler thing. No, I think I did that.
That's why it's called Uncut Gems. I feel like you had to have done that part.
It's just... I didn't
Although
really,
he's not a jeweler, as you said.
I didn't get this, like, good vibe from him. Like, what was his redeeming quality?
I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah, I don't think he had one.
But I don't know. For some reason, I was kind of pulling for him, I feel like. Like, at the end, like, when he's made this big bet.
Yeah.
And he needs it to come through, like, you're kind of pulling for him, right? You're like, oh, come on.
I mean,
maybe that's just because you don't want like, something terrible to happen to
other
him
Other people's
something.
Lives are at stake, and, like, money, and, I don't know. Like, I felt like it was more, I just didn't want the other people in his life to get hurt because of his... dumb actions.
That's fair. Yeah, I feel like he's gotten himself way in over his head, and
yeah, it's interesting.
The movie is just him constantly struggling to try to keep his head above water.
I'd be curious to know, like, how he got to this point, because this movie kind of starts in the middle of all
right,
these
problems.
Like,
at the beginning, he already owes, like, it kind of, well, it opens in Ethiopia with the mine and stuff, but then after that, it goes to him
owing people money.
Yeah, immediately, like, two guys are, like, fleecing him for money and, like, give me your watch and stuff for since you don't have any money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm assuming how he got into that situation, to answer your initial question, probably doing the same thing. And, like, it's kind of that story of, you know, like, people just not being able to break the cycle and
Do you think his business was ever, like, a noble business?
A noble business?
Or, like, a normal business, even?
Well, if you remember back to, and I'm sorry, we're going to be referencing that podcast a little bit, because I was, like, the only background I had going into this movie, besides watching the trailer. I think they talk a lot about, like, that type of business, and, like, it's, like, a lot of people are like that in that business, you know?
In the jewelry business?
And, like, there's a specific, like, neighborhood they reference in New York that's, like, where all these guys are who are, like, selling Rolexes that are fell off the back of a truck, basically been stolen, you know, and stuff like that. And, like, that's how they make their money, in these shady ways. So, yeah, not a great guy.
I can't support that. I don't like that. I also just, like, the vibe of this movie made me very anxious. Like, there was never just, like, one person talking. It was, like, 10 people talking at once.
And talking, putting it mildly.
We're, like, yelling and cursing and angry and...
I almost had to turn on the subtitles because it was, like, hard to...
Oh, can you imagine? The subtitles would have been, like, 10 feet long, just, like...
covering the entire screen.
Oh, my God! I mean, I felt the anxiety, if that's what this
movie... I think that was an intention, yeah.
If that's what it wanted me to feel, then I felt
it. I will give them credit for that. I feel like they got that across. I'm assuming that's what they were trying to do. Yeah, is make you feel that anxiety and, like, that Howard is feeling, you know, being pulled all these different ways of constantly being like, what's my next move? How am I going to get out of
but
this?
But also, it's like, he's his own worst enemy. He put himself in these situations. Like, it didn't make me feel bad for him. It just made me want to, like, get to the point, I guess, where it wasn't so talky at once-y.
Yeah, so just to jump in, and I won't spoil too much here, but later on in the movie, he does, you know, get enough money to pay off Arnold, his main person he's in debt with, that's been, like, following him the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it, but then he takes that money and bets it.
And he's an idiot. he's an addict. He's a gambling addict.
He's an addict. That is the problem.
Sorry.
Exactly.
I didn't mean to call him an idiot, but, I mean, his behaviors were a bit idiotic.
He has a bad gambling vice, sports gambling. I did think it had an accurate portrayal of sports gambling, and, like, because, now, mind you, I just play fantasy football. This is, like, I put $20 in, it's an entire year. It's not a big investment, but, you know, you're, like, rooting for these people that you normally wouldn't root for.
Yeah.
I had a funny scene in there, like, look at me, I'm rooting for the Celtics. I'm a lifelong Knicks fan.
Yeah.
He pawns his Knicks ring to get the... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, like, in addition to, like, the anxiety, you also get this, like, paranoia vibe, because there's... I don't know if you noticed this, but, like, several times in the movie, they, like, are showing his windows, and they're, like, you can see through them, and so you get the sense that, like, somebody's watching him, and, like, that was creepy.
Yeah, kind of like he's always having to look over his shoulder.
Yeah. Did you think there was something, this is kind of a random thought, but did you think there was something wrong with his teeth?
Like, I go back to the
I don't podcast. Remember. What did
I
they
think
say?
They did say they're... I really wish I would have listened to this ahead of time, and I'm sorry to keep bringing it up and not knowing exactly, but I believe they said
you can just speculate with me.
Their dad worked in this business or something, or somebody they knew, and they wore, like, false teeth over their real teeth.
Why? That,
to make them look, like, neater and cleaner, and it's, like...
It's just a looks thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this whole business is, you know? It's like people buying this jewelry, they don't need a status stuff. You go back in Howard's office, he's got all these, like, autographed basketballs and stuff. Like, these aren't worth anything other than what people put value on them, you know what I mean? Like, it's all status symbols for people who want to feel rich and powerful, you know?
Okay, that's interesting.
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I felt that way with, like, how KG, like, did he really need to buy this gem?
Yeah.
Like, he's just, this opal or whatever, the rock. This is the second indie movie that we are watching that has this, like, ooh, sacred rock in it. Parasite?
I didn't even put the two together. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Sacred Rock Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess he was involved in that, world of just status.
Definitely, yeah. I think that's exactly what that world is, and that probably explains the teeth. And
I just don't understand that world.
I don't either.
Okay. But glad we're in agreement.
Oh, also just to briefly mention that we failed to mention, this takes place in 2012.
2012. I was trying to figure out the year. Because it was after the 2008
National championship. NBA championship. Yeah. Right? That was my only KG, because that's how you had the ring. They put it up there. They said when it was the Ethiopian mines, it said 2010, and then when it cuts to present day and
the
beginning, and Howard's getting his colonoscopy there.
Yeah, that's gross.
Just if we haven't sold it for you enough to not watch this with any children, the youth, or I mean, I'm sorry, all the cursing. Also, there's like these weird colonoscopy shots.
I don't think kids would like this movie. I don't think it's like a...
I mean, what kids' age are you talking, I guess? What do you consider kids? Because, like, as a teenager, I probably would have enjoyed this movie.
And that's not a not a kid. A kid is, like, 0 to 10.
Okay, yes. Definitely do not be... I mean, I think you would know that to begin with, but yeah.
It's probably rated R.
Probably.
Yeah. I got the feeling that, like, after a certain time in the movie... I didn't know how many people were after Howard. Like, how many people do you think it was? Because it was, like, Arnold and his cronies, and then we had...
Are we counting that as one person?
Those
or?
Two ball guys, or kind of ball guys.
Okay, yeah.
You... Groups. How many groups of people?
Yeah, it seemed like at least two, probably three.
Oh, I think it was more than that, because then he went to... Well, was the bookie related, or... Did the bookie have anything to do with Arnold and those people?
No, I think the bookie is just who he placed the sports bets with. He didn't owe him any money because
you have
to give him money to place the bets, and then he just
keeps it. He owed the people that he gave KG's ring to.
The pawn shop?
Yeah, he owed them money.
No, because how a pawn shop works is if you pawn it, they give you money. If you don't come back and pay it in time, they just keep the item. You don't owe them anything because they got to keep the item now.
Okay, so maybe it was only three.
I mean,
groups?
He was saying, yeah, he promised to come back by Friday, so he felt like he slighted him, but he didn't owe them money.
Okay, so maybe it was just three groups. Just two groups. Because the Arnold group, it was like...
A lot of guys.
A lot of people. And they, I don't know if they were all... No, I don't think they were all... Buddy, buddy, because something happens at the end that makes you think. I'm not gonna say what it is.
Yeah.
They just kind of got lumped together, but I don't know where those other. What were the bald people upset about?
The bald people.
They had like gray hair, but they had like a bald spot.
They were like twins or something.
Yeah.
It sounded like they owed him $30,000.
For what?
I don't know, Kat.
Okay,
you need all that explained. Is that vital? No. I'm just asking.
No. What were your thoughts on the movie? What do you have to add?
Have I not been adding stuff?
What do you think of Julia?
Seems like a troubled kid. I don't know how old she was. What do you think? Like, around our age, maybe? Late 20s, early 30s?
Yeah, definitely no older than, like, 32.
Yeah. Yeah, sounded like she didn't have a family, he said at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I feel like he, again, going around into that, like, shady business, probably, like, draws in the types that are, like, you know, down on their luck. To compare to a current pop culture reference point, Tiger King, you know, Joe Exotic goes and gets people down on their luck to work for him.
You think that's what Howard was doing,
yeah.
Man, not cool.
It all comes back.
Okay. Yeah, this movie was...
Are you okay?
Well, it messed me up, man.
It messed you up?
It messed me up.
Oh, no.
I'm just, like, at a loss. I think if I were the only one watching this, I would have turned it off, like, not even halfway through.
I will say it seemed like... I checked the time and I was like, wow, we're only an hour in. It seems like so much has happened because it's just like was so fast paced and like there's no chewing the fat scenes in this, really. You know, this movie moves. It's not Marriage Story. Not to, like, knock Marriage Story, but I feel
Burn.
Like... that's... No, I liked Marriage Story. I feel like that was the movie that, you know, like, wasn't afraid to, like, sit in a scene and just have these people, like, talking for 10 minutes. So this is, like, cut here, cut there.
Yeah, I mean, you really didn't get to know, like, his kids, his wife, his family. It was just all about how he owed people money. And the crazy stuff that he got himself
into. I feel like
into.
They did a decent job of, like, painting that image of his marriage and of his parenting, of, like, how it just, like, unless it's his interest, you know, of sports, he's not really there for it. Like, he went in there to put the kid to bed, but he's just, like, watching his phone.
That was
and then
terrible.
He goes,
yeah, no, I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. And then, yeah, goes to the older kid and, like, watches basketball with him. But, yeah.
Yeah, the oldest boy, like, was betting, too. Like, that's... What kind of influence, what kind of marker are you putting on your kid?
What kind of mark are you putting on him?
Impression?
There you go. What kind of model are you?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely some narcissism going on there.
But, yeah, also painting the image, you know, with his wife and that... trouble, like, from the few scenes we get of them together, I feel like it does a pretty good job of, and I don't mind that they don't explain everything, you know, like you were saying, although you can fill in some blanks, you know, like, obviously either she knows about the affair, because, like, she brings that stuff up,
mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're getting divorced and she doesn't even know about that part.
No, I take it that she's not a dumb woman. Like, that she is aware of what's happening.
Yeah, and so you got that without, like, having to have, like, a big...
I know, but, you know, that's the stuff that I'm more interested in versus, like, gambling and sports and...
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to be as big of a focus of the movie as it did end up being.
Yeah.
I'd agree with you there. I thought it was going to be more about the jewelry selling and stuff.
Yeah, that business.
Right. I mean, without getting into spoilers, it's kind of tough, you know? I'd say I would recommend it, but going in with that caveat, if you're like Kathy and you don't like these types of movies with, like, people cursing and it's, like, sports and gambling and stuff, like, that's the stuff to expect. A little, you know, like... mafia, mobster mentality, that type of stuff going on. Yeah. I kind of enjoy some of those movies, and I don't watch them as much anymore. So I found it captivating and a compelling story that kept me wondering how's this going to end up for Howard.
I found it to be, like, original. Like, it wasn't something you see every day. Mm-hmm. It's a unique story. I'll give it that. And it did keep my attention. It just was upsetting what was happening in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you, I guess we were sort of rolling it into there, but did you have any other final thoughts you wanted to talk about?
I don't think I'd recommend it. I mean, maybe I'd recommend it to my dad because he likes, like, the
mafia movies. Yeah, I feel like your dad would definitely like this movie. Like, it's got sports, you know, it's got mafia type stuff.
Yeah, okay, so, like, yeah, I think your dad would like it. A certain person would like this movie.
Yeah, I think it's kind of niche.
Yeah.
But a broad niche, if that makes sense. You know, like, it paints to a niche of people, like a smaller group, but, like, that smaller group is a pretty broad group of, like, guys, you know. I'm not trying to, like, say Me. Everybody's the same, but, you know, a lot of guys like sports and like mobster movies type stuff, so, like, in that sense, like, it appeals to a broad range there, mm-hmm. but it cuts off, like, a large part of the population that doesn't like that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I don't want to speak in too many stereotypes, but you know,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah
So, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it unless I knew someone who, like, would really like this movie.
And briefly, I'm sorry, we have to have you comment on the Passover scene and how accurate it was. And
I mean, it was accurate, but A, it just made me sad because...
Passover's coming up.
It's not going to happen. It's my favorite Jewish holiday, but whatever. Okay. How do I say this and be nice? All right. I like Adam Sandler. I don't think he's, like, a bad person or anything. But I think sometimes, like, he feels the need to bring Judaism because he's Jewish. I guess. I mean, he is. I'm just saying he feels the need to bring Judaism into a lot of his movies when I don't think it really adds anything to it. If anything, like, this particular movie, I think it gives Jews a bad name because it's, like, showing that we're, like, obsessed with money and stuff. Which, that's a stereotype. Adam, come on. You know that.
Well, is that... I'm agreeing with your, like, that's stereotype and bad and stuff, but was that more Adam Sandler, or was that more the Safdie brothers and whoever, I believe they wrote the screenplay as well.
But didn't they, I mean, they probably wanted him for the role.
This is Adam Sandler's fault? What do you mean? Wasn't, they did want him for the role, they talked about him in the interview, I can't remember it. But, like, if it wasn't him, it'd be somebody else. Like, what do you mean?
I'm just saying that, like, I want one of his movies to be showing
agnostic.
Not bring up his religion at all, or showing Jews in, like, a nice light. I don't know.
Many Adam Sandler movies have you seen?
A few.
Okay. Maybe we'll cover another Adam Sandler movie for the pod one day. I don't know how many independent movies he's been in, though.
It's not that I don't like Adam Sandler. I think he's a fine man.
I love the Hanukkah song.
Yeah, I do. But I don't know. I just think that, like, it's not...
He doesn't paint the best light on your people?
Not in this movie. I guess I'm mad at the Safdie brothers, not at Adam Sandler, but Adam Sandler didn't have to agree to it. And in this, you know, the Terry Gross interview, he was, like, saying, you know, I have to think about what movies, like... If my kids were to see my movies and how it would affect them. This isn't a movie that I would be proud to show my children. If I were him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we've said, he's not a great... Howard is not a great role model or anything. But I do think Adam Sandler does a tremendous job in this movie. Like, he does very well acting and everything.
Yeah.
Portrays the character well, I feel like. An unlikable character and giving him sort of that, you know, you're pulling for him feeling, like I was talking about earlier. Even though he's not a likable character, there's some part of me that's, like, pulling for him to get himself out of this, and maybe that's just, like, the humanitarian side of me, you know, doesn't want to see people like this.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really need the Judaism part.
That's fair.
I just wanted to get your take on that. Yeah, it was an accurate portrayal of a Passover Seder, but that doesn't mean, like...
But you could have done without it. Wasn't a necessary scene.
No.
It did let us see that Howard was related to Arnold.
That's literally where
we got introduced to that.
Cool. I mean, that was kind of... I was like, wait, what?
I said, I'm like, I think that's Arnold. You're like, no, I don't think so. That is him!
And then it was just, like, so nonchalant. I'm like... This seems like a big deal, but I guess it's not to him. But there we go, you know, mixing family with business is not usually a good thing to do.
Never good. Mm-mm. All right, I'm sorry for interrupting once again. Did you have any more final thoughts?
No,
I interrupted with the Passover talk.
You know what? If I were just to sum up this movie in one word, anxiety.
That's it. That's good.
The end.
I think that is true. I would agree. It's a very anxious movie, very intense. Howard is a mess. And what was my other little note here? Oh, God. This movie moves. Yeah, I kind of already mentioned that as well. This movie really goes. It'll keep you kind of on the edge of your seat, wondering what's going to happen next. A lot of surprises. Not any, like, twist or anything, really.
Some twists.
Like, maybe right at the end. But keeps you wondering what's going to happen next. And I thought it was well acted and well directed. And like you said, a story that's a little uncommon. And I'd recommend it, like I said, to the people who would be fans of this, of those movies that are out there like this. As we said, there are a few of them. But if you've seen something like this and it sounds interesting to you, I would recommend it. If it doesn't, you're probably not going to be surprised, and you won't like it, I would say. If what we're saying doesn't compel you, I wouldn't say you need to see this movie. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we get into our rankings?
Let's do it. All right. So far we have Parasite is number one, Dazed and Confused is number two. Where are you thinking we should slot Uncut Gems in there?
Number three.
Number three? Yeah. Behind Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, because here's why. Okay. Can I explain?
You can explain.
Dazed and Confused had a few likable characters in it.
Always back to the likable characters
it's
with
you. It's important to me!
No.
I need someone to
the
root for!
The story is more important. You could root for Howard. He's not likable, but you could root for him.
I don't like Howard.
I'm just thinking number two for this.
No, disagree.
You're just not gonna even entertain me? I could see maybe I'm just leaning more biased towards it since I hadn't seen this before, so it's the freshness in my mind. So I'm not like super tied to putting it above Dazed and Confused. I could see it as three.
Great.
I don't want this to be like Caleb always is gonna fold and Kathy's always gonna get away. Don't make that face.
All right. For now, that's the rankings.
All right. Okay. You want to run through them real quick?
Parasite 1, Dazed and Confused 2, Uncut Gems 3.
All right. So that being said, should we move on to our next segment?
Yep.
Currently captivating positives.
All right. So, given that these are some pretty tough times we're living in right now, the only thing that is bringing me any joy is television. So, a show that I would recommend is called Zoe's Playlist. It's an NBC show, but it's on Hulu, at, like, weekly as the show comes out, as it airs. I would recommend this show to someone who really enjoyed Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Like, it has that kind of feel to it. Yes, Caleb
singing.
Pointed out that connection.
Even though he has not seen either show.
Yeah. A brief, like, why you should check it out. Lauren Graham is in it. Played Lorelai.
All right, say no more. Moving
yeah,
on to
seriously.
Mine. No, I'm just kidding. You can say more.
And it has a lot of singing in it. So, like, the main character, Zoe, she has this power where she can hear people's heart songs, which is, like, their innermost thoughts via song. And only she can hear them, and the other person doesn't even know, like, they're singing them to her. And then she tries to help them with their problems.
And they're all, like, pop music, right? Like, songs we've heard.
Yeah.
These aren't, like, original songs or something.
Correct. So, yeah, it's really good. It's, like, funny, romantic, sad, relatable.
Just a quick question. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to, but you don't like Glee, right? Okay. I was just, because it's another
this
singing show.
This is not a high school show. These are adults.
I know. I'm just asking because it's another singing show. Is that no?
I didn't like Glee, no.
Okay. I was just curious. Sorry.
I only saw a few episodes and it didn't move me.
Okay.
Seemed kind of petty.
Do you have any other talking points on that?
I mean, do you want me to keep going?
No, I can go on. I'm sorry, I just felt like I was interrupting, so I was giving you time to talk more.
Said my piece. What's your CCP?
Can you guess it?
Animal Crossing.
You got it.
Wow, Caleb, so original. Just kidding, just giving you a hard time. What's Animal Crossing?
Like I said, Animal Crossing. It's Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
I don't understand. There's no difference. We're saying the same thing.
Animal Crossing New Horizons is a game on the Switch.
Wait, what's New Horizons?
That's the subtitle. Because there's been multiple entries in the...
This version is called New Horizons.
Right. This is just the newest one called New Horizons. It's available on the Nintendo Switch. You start on an island, and you're kind of building it up, and you build, like, a community center and a museum, and so you run around, you catch butterflies, and you catch fish, and you...
Very wholesome.
Yeah, just good old-fashioned fun. You build a house, you get new furniture and stuff, you can chop trees.
Isn't there something about fruit? Like, fruit's really important.
Yep, you can have cherry, apple, orange, pear. I think there's a couple others. And then a little background with this is Brian had the original, my brother Brian had the original on GameCube, and that's how we kind of got into Animal Crossing.
Oh, so this goes back to childhood.
Right. I don't think I've really played one since that original, though. Like, Steven and Brian, I think, at least Steven has played some of the...
That's your other brother.
Right, sorry. Just throwing out a lot of names here. have played some of the other entries, but I've only played that original one, and then I stuck inside. What better than, you know, just check in on the island every day for, like, 30 minutes to an hour and say what's up to everybody. My boy Peck. It's one of the villagers. Yeah, that's what I'm currently captivated by.
Cool.
Did you have any thoughts on Animal Crossing? Oh, okay.
I'm not playing it.
I guess, welcomed you to make your own villager and join my island.
Yeah, I just didn't feel
New Kansas is the name of my island, for anybody wondering.
Anyone wanting to hop on in? I feel like the Switch is really having a moment right now. Is that fair to say?
For me or in the world? What do you mean?
It's like the console to have. Is that the right word?
Console? Yeah.
Is it not?
No, console's the right word. What are you asking? Is it not what?
I feel like that's what people are saying they're playing these games on.
Oh, Animal Crossing, yeah, but...
Not just Animal Crossing, before that. Like, the Switch, ooh, it's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's been out for 3 years now, so...
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Should we move on to what we're doing next week?
Let's do it.
Next week, we are watching the movie High Fidelity. Not the show, the movie. It is not, like, free on any streaming service. You'll have to rent it.
I mean, that's true of the last two we've watched, I think, so.
Yeah, we don't have the library to help us out
Uncut
on
this. Uncut Gems will be available on Netflix, I believe. Those who want to see it, if you hold out a little bit, I believe it will be available on Netflix maybe April or May.
Cool. Well, we're doing High Fidelity next week, so stay tuned for that. Caleb read the book, so he'll have some insight with that. I read, like, maybe 30 to 50 pages of the book and didn't like it.
Wow.
But maybe the movie will be amazing.
So, yeah, we're going to watch that, and then maybe at some point we won't do the pod on this anymore because we're just doing indie movies now, but we might do the show after that as well on Hulu starring Zoe Kravitz. Just to compare and contrast to the book and the movie and stuff. I'm looking forward to it. I think I've seen bits and pieces of this movie over the years. Like, if it's, like, on TV, I've, like, seen, like, a scene or something.
I have not, so.
I just know John Cusack and Jack Black are in it. And they work in a record store. Well, I guess I know the story, since now I've read the book.
Yeah, so. What are you talking about? You know all about it.
I mean, before, that's what I knew. Mm. Anyways, take us out.
Give your loved ones a call. Stay safe inside your home.
Don't forget to mail in your votes.
We'll be back next Sunday.
And fill out your census.
Oh, yeah, that was, what, yesterday? It was yesterday. All right. Peace out.
Peace and love.
Bye.